The scripture today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone.'" Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is Family First Sunday, and the sermon is to be shorter, and it is to be interactive. I'm making the effort, so you will have to help me with both of those. Don't call me down if it gets too long, but help me with the interactive part. It is the craziest thing. This kid got stuck in a vending machine with all those stuffies there. I love these kind of machines, and I used to put my quarters in to see if I could grab one of those objects there. But this kid had missed his opportunity using the buttons on the machine. His name is actually Robert Moore, and he lives in Wisconsin. But he was using the buttons, and he was unsuccessful. And when his grandmother turned around to look in her purse to get some extra change so that he could have another chance, he just decided he could not live without SpongeBob SquarePants. And so he crawled up inside the machine and got himself in quite a fix. In fact, it took hours in order to figure out how to open the machine up and get him back out. But it was a wonderful thing that he was surrounded by those prizes, but it was a terrible thing that he got stuck there. Have you ever wanted something so badly that you couldn't think straight? Raise your hand if you have ever wanted something so badly that you couldn't think straight. Some kids do that, and there is no question adults do it too. They will do anything to get what they want. Everybody has to deal with temptation in some way or the other. I remember that we had somebody to come over and work on our house. This was years ago. And they left. And later, I discovered in a corner a very nice flashlight. Now, this was several people that had come over and worked, and I never did meet them, but when I saw that flashlight, I thought, "That is a nice flashlight." And so I asked a little bit who that flashlight might belong to. And I asked somebody else who that flashlight might belong to, and they weren't very helpful to me. And guess what I did? I thought, well, we can't find that person. And so I still have that flashlight. And I still feel very guilty about it because now there is no tracing that person down. And I am afflicted with the fact that every time my hand touches that flashlight, that I know that it is not my flashlight. It is important for us because it's easy to fail the temptation test, isn't it? Isn't it easy to fail that test? Come on, be honest with me. Talk back to me here. It is easy to fail the temptation test. Okay, so raise your hand if you recall where Jesus was baptized. Raise your hand if you recall where Jesus was baptized. Come on, adults, get with this thing too. Kids as well. He was baptized in the Jordan River, wasn't he? The Jordan River sounds like a big, important river, but it was about the size of the Ogeechee River. Now, that's an important river for folk in this community. But Jesus was baptized in that river. Now, here's another question for you. Raise your hand if you recall who baptized Jesus. Who? Shout out that. John the Baptist, or as I like to say, John the Baptizer, lest we connect him with a certain denomination that is not to be mentioned in this place, of course. The John the Baptizer, and it was a glorious day. It was a glorious day with lots of baptisms and much prayer. And children, get this. Somehow the heavens, it says in the Bible that the heavens opened up. I don't know how that happens, but the clouds parted. And guess what happened? The Spirit of God appeared like a dove coming down on Jesus. And there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my son. And I'm very, very pleased with him." Can you imagine that happening at Jesus' baptism? Raise your hand if you know what happened. Wait a minute. I haven't finished the question yet, Katie. Raise your hand. Not yet. Wait a minute. If you know what happened after Jesus was baptized. Now you can raise your hand. Raise your hand if you know what happened after Jesus was baptized. Nathan, I'm going to test you on this. Now, if you don't remember, you may have to ask your mama or daddy, but you tell me if you know. What did Jesus do after he was baptized? Can you remember? Oh, you were tempted to raise your hand. Let me tell you, I'm not going to put Larry and Ruth Ann to the test here. Jesus went out into the wilderness. Now, around here, that might be like a forest. But for Jesus, it was a desert. Look at this desert. Jesus was in the desert when he went out into the wilderness. And it was 40 days that he was out there in the desert. The Bible says that he ate nothing during those 40 days. And I don't see how he survived. Do you? I can hardly go just a few hours without eating something. But Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. Okay, anyway, raise your hand if you recall who showed up out there in the desert. Are y'all getting tired? Okay, somebody tell me then. The devil, Satan, the tempter, the deceiver. And now, raise your hand if you know what the devil looks like, okay? Raise your hand if you know what the devil looks like. Now, there aren't quite as many hands raised. Nathan, you still have your hand up, though. And I'm very appreciative of that, too. I know you're hearing me. And Katie, you've got your hand up, too. Does anybody want to say what they think that the devil looks like? That's interesting. Sherry, that's why she's sitting on the front row, because she knows the answers. She said, the devil looks like whatever you want him to look like, which is the best answer I have ever heard on this subject. Oh, goodness. Now Dale is messing with me. Dale said it sometimes looks like a flashlight. I don't like that one. Okay. So I've never seen the devil, not with my eyes. I've never seen the devil with my eyes. But I can tell you that I know that the devil is there because there are these temptations. And whenever the devil shows up, this little trickster of a guy, there are going to be temptations. In fact, that is one of the ways that the devil interacts with everybody that is on this earth, that he has temptations that he guides us toward. Okay, I was thinking the other day, the answer to that question is sort of like the moon. No, not the moon does not look like the devil, but I want you to think about this for just a little bit, because now we in the night sky right now, you can only see just a sliver of a moon, and it's beautiful. But when you can see the whole moon, some people say that you can see the man in the moon, okay? So you can see this face. I've never been able to figure that one out. When I look at the moon, I always see a rabbit. Have you ever seen a rabbit in the moon? Well, you need to look at this, because I cannot look at the moon without seeing the rabbit sort of curled up with those two floppy ears. Katie, are you still listening? Okay, all right, good. So in the moon, I want you to look for the rabbit that is curled up and with the floppy ears over. It's there every time. And do you know why it's there every time? Because we only see one side of the moon. Only one side of the moon. The fancy word for that is synchronous rotation. You don't have to remember that on the test. But there is a dark side to the moon. And the thing that comes to me is the words of the Apostle Paul, because he said, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Now, I'm going to ask the adults if they remember this. Raise your hand if you remember that statement. Come on now. Okay. This is important. This is really important stuff here. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, if you want to look this up, I'm not going to tell you which verse. You'll have to read the whole thing. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That means he comes with a good appearance, sort of like a shiny flashlight, right? And he shows up, but there is a dark, dark side to what he intends. The devil whispered to Jesus, "You are the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread." Do you see the bread on one side and the stones on the other? I don't know what Jesus is capable of, but the Bible is filled with all kinds of miracles. Don't you imagine that Jesus was hungry when he heard those words? Do you know that? That Jesus was hungry, and he might have looked at those stones and thought to himself, that would taste very, very good. But he wasn't going to do it, because guess who was asking him? It was the devil. And he knew that he would be in trouble if he did that. And so he responded to the devil. And he said, one does not live by bread alone. Next, the devil showed up and asked Jesus about the kingdoms, saying, I'll give you power over all of this. Now, there are flags, all kinds of flags there. And they represent for us right now, they represent for us England and France and Germany and Spain and Italy. You realize I'm not looking up there because I don't know exactly what all of those flags look like. But this represents for us the world. And the devil was saying to Jesus, I'll put you in charge of the entire world because I'm in charge of the world. If you will just worship me. And what did Jesus say to the devil at that point? What did he say, Claire? Say that louder. I bet you got that right, but say it louder. That's right. You only worship God. That's right. You don't worship the devil, right? Because you'll get into all kinds of trouble. Somebody give her a high five on that. That was perfect. That was fantastic. And there was one other thing that happened. Finally, the devil took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple. Let's go there. Now, you can't see it really well, but you can tell that it's the edge of a building. And this building is actually the temple in Jerusalem. And the highest point on the temple was the highest point in all of the city. And the devil said, Jesus, if you throw yourself off of the pinnacle of the temple, off the very highest place, you know that angels are going to swoop down and pick you up before you hit the ground. Do you remember what Jesus said to that? Did anybody listen to the scripture that was read earlier? Okay, so Larry, I saw your hand come up, and so if you would stand and tell us what Jesus' response said to that. I'm putting you on the spot.
It's not good. You should not tempt the Lord.
That's exactly right. Okay, let's give Larry a hand with that. Okay, exactly. You should not tempt the Lord your God. And so here's another thing. Raise your hand if you know what happened next. Come on, y'all. The devil disappeared. He took off. He took off until, it says, an opportune time. And so I want us to say that together, okay? Until an opportune time. One more time. Until an opportune time. That means the devil is always ready to show up. Always ready to show up. That sneaky little thing kept showing up all throughout Jesus' life. And guess what? He keeps showing up in our lives too, doesn't he? Whew! But he never fooled Jesus. And so I want to tell you this. We need to call for Jesus if we're ever in the wilderness. Call for Jesus because Jesus knows how to handle the devil's temptations. And he will help you every time. Now, I hope all God's children heard that message. And me particularly. Let's share together in something very precious, and that is communion here at this table. What a wonderful thing that Christ gave us this meal to share.